You're unbelievable. No, I have completely, I've looked at, I can't tell you folks how much film, game film, I've looked at over the last couple of years, mainly because Mark will be sitting over there and we'll be in a commercial break and I'll be minding my own business, preparing for the next segment, and Mark will be over there muttering under his breath, like, what is that? What the bleep is that? That's awful. Then he's like, come over here. Come over here. Get over here. So I like wheel my chair around the corner here. I come over to the Exos Thundercloud. And then he's like, look at this. Look at this. And, the whole adage, film don't lie. You look at the game film. And you look at the things that Russ misses because he has no pocket awareness. The plays that if he had waited a half a count more that were wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Or the things that if he had just been able to anticipate and throw to where the receiver was going, but instead he was looking to get out of the pocket. It's, you don't have to have played in the NFL to see it. And I thank you, Mark, for all the film you've shown me, because I would think that if I hadn't had a chance to look at the game film, the same stuff that the coaches look at, the players look at, the other offensive players look at, that I might have fallen into the same trap by going by what you don't right. see on the TV copy. But I'm telling you, folks, it doesn't take an advanced football mind with plenty of football experience to look at the game film and see this is a quarterback who just misses a lot of stuff.
Right.
Because he doesn't know how to stand in the pocket. He doesn't know how to operate in the pocket. And if you cannot operate in the pocket in today's NFL, I do not care how mobile you are. It's something that I hope Sean Payton gets right, because if you don't have a quarterback that can slice and dice from the pocket, you can't win consistently in this league. Not win big.
100%. That's what people don't understand. They think it's a game of athleticism. It's not.
It's not.
It's not. It's not about being able to out-athlete your opponent.
The two most celebrated quarterbacks of our generation before Mahomes came along were statues.
Yeah.
Statues. Add Ben Roethlisberger in there. Statue. Put Eli Manning in there. Statue. All these guys that won Super Bowls over the last 20 years until Mahomes came along. Statues.
Yeah. And Mahomes does the majority of his damage in the pocket, but he has the ability to scramble, which makes him that much more effective. But he doesn't use that as a crutch. His default mechanism is let's scramble out. Now, by the way, going back through that Raider game and going back through what I saw in Stidham, would Russ have taken less sacks in that Raider game? Probably. Like, if it's just about breakdowns and protection, Russ probably would have taken less sacks in those, because he probably could have gotten away from a few of them. But then you have to add into, but how many sacks would he have taken on, I don't like this, so let me pull the ball and let me try to outrun Max Crosby on the edge. So there's this juxtaposition of, I guess, what frustrates me as a player is when a quarterback is supposed to be somewhere and he's not there. So not only do you give up more sacks, the other thing that happens to offensive linemen, this really irritates me with guys that move around and leave before they're supposed to leave while they're not under duress, is it changes your blocking angle. It changes the pass rush, because you know what you don't have? Eyes on the quarterback. As an offensive lineman, your back is to the quarterback. So when he leaves where he's supposed to be, it changes the rush angle of a defensive lineman. So when you just leave a clean pocket because you want to make something big happen, you know what's a consequence of that? Holding calls. So it may not just be the sacks. It may be how many extra holding calls do you draw because you refuse to execute the play that's called. And that's part of it. And that's not just a Russ thing. That goes to Lamar. That goes to anybody who takes off and runs around.
Mark, Russ will play better in Pittsburgh because he'll have a better offensive line.
The offensive line in Pittsburgh has been garbage. You guys not follow the league? Rusty's, do you not follow? Of course you don't follow the league. You just follow Russ. Like, you guys, Lemmings to the sea.
High?
You guys are high. The Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line has been a major flaw. Should we get somebody on from Pittsburgh that follows the team, that covers the team?
They're too busy debating Russ versus Fields right
now.
They do
football via math.
Are you guys watching the games like Russ is working out with big sunglasses on?
This is ridiculous.
You can't see?
On the RamosLive.com text line.
That's how you do football.
Yeah. I love this one. I'm disgusted with you two for rooting for the Orioles.
Folks, it's called sarcasm, okay?
Oh, no, I'm actually
I am rooting for the Orioles because, what, we're supposed to endorse what Dick Monfort's doing over there? By the way, it's not
The argument is that if you're a Rockies fan, you should root for them to not be good. To be even worse than they already are.
Right.
But why we're rooting for them to be as bad as they can be.
Yeah. We want to be able to follow a good baseball team.
Yeah, I want to follow a decent baseball team because I like baseball.
Why can't we do two things at the same time?
Yeah.
We can root for the Rockies to be as bad as possible because, let's face it, the only chance there is of shaking Dick Monfort out of his paralysis is that they be so bad that eventually it affects the bottom line. That eventually it shows up in the attendance figures. Because that's the only way it'll spur Dick Monfort into doing anything. You think losing 120 games will force him into action? Not if they draw 3.5 million people.
Right. He'll just say, hey, we appreciate the letter to the season ticket holders would be like, we appreciate your undying loyalty to the Colorado Rockies. And trust us, we are really grinding.
The process of rooting for the Rockies to lose historically so that hopefully it gets Dick Monfort to act, we also want to be able to follow a team that wins. And what better team than Baltimore, a team that very recently was in the same dire straits that the Rockies find themselves in. Just 5 years ago, in 2018, the Baltimore Orioles lost 115 baseball games. And by the way,
we can do that this year. 115.
Oh, easily. And by the way, for the texter who said, you guys are unbelievable. You think that the fans in Baltimore started rooting for the Dodgers? Yes, I think there were probably people in Baltimore who decided while our team sucks, we're going to adopt somebody else. And look at these attendance figures in Baltimore. When the Orioles were losing 115 games, they averaged 19,000 fans per game, which you know is not a
which
true
is
number.
Totally inflated. The so next it's about 10,000.
The next year they lost 108, they averaged 16,000. And then in 2021, they lost 110 games and averaged 9,800 people per game.
But they have a party deck.
Johnny.
Well, it's Camden Yards. Which means they were playing games at home in front of 5,000 people.
Right. And basically, those 5,000 people sent a message to the Orioles. We're not in for your garbage. Because Camden Yards is beautiful. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Camden Yards, but Camden Yards is a baseball cathedral. Like, of places you want to go watch a baseball game, that's got to be on your bucket list of places to go watch a baseball game.
So,
anyhow, by the way,
it's called sarcasm. Then you say you're rooting for Baltimore. Go do Baltimore talk radio. It's our way. Boy,
there's a little bit of truth in all humor,
folks.
That's what makes it funny,
folks. Come on now, we're doing our best to embarrass Dick Monfort. Okay, we have your backs in this. We're trying desperately. We only have this one little pulpit here. We are doing our best to somehow get Dick Monfort out of his slumber.
His malaise.
And get him to act because this could be a great baseball town. We saw it during Rocktober.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable what this feeling was like around here when we had a baseball team that was doing special things.
They would be the second most, like, They would draw in our market the second most attention if they were good.
Yes.
Behind the Broncos.
Yes, correct. No doubt.
The Rocktober was like, they took over.
Yes.
They just flat took
all apologies to the Avalanche and Nuggets. If the Rockies actually, if you put together a Rockies team that had a run like the Avalanche are having right now, or like the Nuggets are having sustained excellence over the course of several seasons, it would be so obvious to everybody that this is a great
baseball
team.
It'd be 40,000 a night.
50,000 a night. Easily.
Be crazy.
Easy. So anyway.
You know what I did yesterday?
What'd you do?
8 Easter leftovers.
Of course.
Easter leftovers.
I love leftovers. You guys have the ham?
Oh, yeah. But you know what I did yesterday? I devoured.
What'd you do?
Deviled eggs.
Yeah, my wife makes that. My whole family loves deviled eggs. I can't stand deviled eggs.
What?
I can't.
How can you not stand them? Do you like eggs?
Yes.
Do you like egg yolk?
Yes.
Do you like mayonnaise?
Yes.
Do you like mustard?
Yes.
How can you not like a deviled egg?
I love chicken. I hate chicken salad.
This is ridiculous.
You hate chicken salad?
I hate chicken salad.
A chicken salad sandwich you don't like?
Hate it. But I love tuna salad.
I know. Right.
That makes no sense. I get it. I can't. If you put chicken salad in front of me, I'd gag.
I get that, there's a double, it's like double Dutch for me, deviled eggs, because not only do I love the taste, but I know I'm going to hotbox the missus. So I kind of giggle while I eat them.
Because you know it's coming?
Yeah, you know it's going to be a sulfur.
Your own Dutch oven.
Yeah, own little sulfur night.
Don't light a match. Oh, yeah, nothing like a good hot plate of leftover ham.
Hot?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Wait a minute. We've been together all these years. Don't tell me you're one of them. You're a cold leftover guy?
I do not heat up leftovers.
Oh, my God.
I only eat leftovers cold. So yesterday, my diet consisted of deviled eggs, and we had steaks the other night, and I had some leftover steaks, and just cold steak.
Cold steak?
Cold steak and...
Who are you?
You don't eat cold... Tell me you don't heat up sandwiches.
Be gone, vile man!
Leftovers are meant to be done hot.
No way.
Hot turkey sandwiches.
No. I cannot
warmed
do
up
a
ham.
Hot sandwich
don't
or
tell
hot
me you
ham.
Don't tell me you eat cold pizza.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Pizza's always... I don't ever heat up a piece of pizza.
God.
You heat up pizza?
Yes.
Leftover pizza?
Yes.
No.
You have leftover steak cold?
Absolutely.
Heathen.
Slice up cold, maybe dip it into some horseradish.
He's alone on this, right? Rogue?
I think you can do pizza cold, but I could not picture myself eating a cold steak.
Right. Turkey?
Like,
how about leftover turkey?
Turkey I would eat cold. It's better warm.
Ham?
Ham.
Now, if you had your choice, leftover turkey... If you had your choice, hot, right?
Yeah.
All right. Fever.
Sometimes I'll just sneak in the fridge and just grab.
Well,
some,
I get that,
know.
But if you're actually gonna put a meal together here, what about you, Fever?
It depends, honestly. I'll do cold sometimes, hot, just what I'm feeling.
If I'm doing leftover turkey, it's on a plate, cold, with some cranberry sauce.
That's wild.
That is delicious. And if I'm making a sandwich, I don't eat hot sandwiches.
Oh, my God.
Sandwiches are not meant to be hot. Sandwiches are cold.
No, not every sandwich is supposed to be delicious. Hot. But if you're having a meal that you had hot, which is what it was designed to be, hot, then you have the leftovers of said meal. You eat it hot.
Do you heat up the whole sandwich or you just heat up the meat and then put it in the cold sandwich?
I heat up the whole thing. I put it all.
So then your bread is soggy.
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh. Soggy bread is the best.
Soggy bread is
awful. I love soggy bread. Awful.
Oh, dude. No. We can go out to eat together, but we cannot have leftovers together. You're not spending the night.
One of my favorite memories.
You're not going
to
spend the night.
I'm having a memory. I'm having a memory going back to like high school. You know, when you bring your own lunch and you bring it into school, you put it in your locker at the beginning of the day. And then by the time you ate lunch, like 4 or 5 hours later, everything had gotten soft. Oh, the best.
Do you eat like
the best
overripe bananas with like brown spots on them and stuff? Mushy banana. I cannot even come close to putting a mushy banana by my mouth. It's got to be almost just a little bit beyond green. Like, it's just got to be
really
hard.
It can't have the slightest blemish.
No, not. Won't eat it.
All right, what if you had chicken wings that you got the night before, ate them hot, and then the next day? Do you eat those cold?
I eat my leftovers cold.
Cold wings?
I eat my leftovers cold.
I got a side on the cold wings.
What?
Yes. Yes, thank you, Johnny.
Chinese food cold.
Oh, my God.
It's really good, too.
Oh, my God.
Leftover Chinese food.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Stop it. Get some help.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I will heat up.
Okay.
I will heat up rice. Like if it, like if it's a pork fried rice, leftover Chinese, that I'll heat up. But that's about it. Noodles?
What about pasta?
Yeah, what about you got leftover spaghetti? How about that?
Yeah, see that's that'll heat up.
Yeah, that has to be.
Yeah, I'll heat up.
What if it's just
But I'll eat it cold.
Just the spaghetti. What about just the spaghetti?
Just the noodles?
Just the noodles.
Yeah, I'll eat those cold.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how
dear.
What are we talking about?
I don't know.
What are we talking about? Oh, my goodness.
Dear Mrs. Evans, Michael is no longer allowed at our house because he will not eat cold leftovers.
New York, London, Paris, Munich, everybody got
pop music. All right. Again, mixed reaction with that one, but a lot of cold people out there. A lot of leftover cold people, cold leftover people.
My wife is always trying to heat up my leftover.
Well,
when I get
Mrs. S is, she's a smart lady.
I'll have like a plate of leftover steak. It's all cut up in little hunks. And she goes, oh, let me put that in the microwave for you. I go, no, if I want it in the microwave, I'd have put it in the microwave.
I like it cold.
Evans probably lets his cereal get soggy in the milk.
Oh, yes.
No. Oh, yeah. The longer that cereal has a chance to sit there to flavor the milk so then you can drink the milk after you've eaten the cereal, absolutely. What is wrong with you people?
Soggy cereal.
You get like the frosted flakes.
Terrible.
You just put them in there. Let them just kind of marinate in the milk for a while. Then you eat them, and then you get that like sugary frosted flake milk.
But they don't have any crunch to them. There's no crunch to them.
Well, you get a couple crunchy spoonfuls, and then let it sit there for a while. And best of both worlds. Time to time to light the lamp. Brought to you by Papa Murphy's. Where once you eat your Papa Murphy's and have leftovers the next day, make sure you heat up the pizza. But the Avalanche lose last night. Does it tell us everything that we need to know about how to react to this loss that we lead by saying, boy, this loss came out of nowhere? Like if this loss was so hard to see coming, the fact that they did lose, are you able to kind of just blow it off and forget about it, and not put much stock in it?
Yeah, I mean it's Columbus, so I would imagine, you know, hard to get up for the worst team in the East. I get how that goes, you know, especially at the long end of a long season, you feel like you can just roll out there and get a victory, and obviously you can't do that. You can never take opponents that, you know, they're professional. They get paid. They're professionals. You can never take an opponent lightly. But again, does it strike up any controversy or any fear? No. I tell you the one thing that would have been different. What if it would have been a tight game and Annan stood on his head?
Yes.
Then you would have had an issue. Like what if the roles would have been reversed and Columbus got 47 shots to your 27.
Mm-hmm.
And Annan just stood on his head and you won 4-1 in spite of
coming off a game in which Georgiev was pulled.
Right.
Now the Avalanche said, hey, don't read anything into this. It was a scheduled start.
Right.
For Annan, and don't read into anything. We don't want any hint of a goaltender controversy. But I would think that, especially after Bednar came out after the game yesterday and said, yeah, their goalie was better than ours.
Right.
Our goalie could have been better. And let's face it, whenever a hockey coach starts saying our goalie, that's the same thing as Sean Payton saying the player.
Yeah, our goalie.
Not a good thing.
No, it's not. But if he would have, if he'd have played lights out and they'd have been able to, you know, get a victory in Columbus, then maybe, just maybe, there would be some controversy or some discussion. Because we started it yesterday a little bit. A
little bit.
But I think this pretty much squelches that uprising.
At least for now, yeah. Alexander Georgiev can breathe easy. Onanen's not breathing down his neck. We do not have a goaltender controversy.
Correct.
Yeah, the other thing I take from this game, and some of the recent results from the Nuggets as well, is that no matter how much we sit here as fans and say, man, you gotta go after these games. Yeah. You gotta finish the season strong. You gotta build momentum for the playoffs. You gotta get the best seed possible. You gotta have home ice or home court. That we think of that, we think that way as fans, but for the players themselves, it's just sometimes it's just as simple as we can't wait for this season to be over. And we want to get to the playoffs. They're not thinking about seeds and this. They just want to get on to the playoffs.
What does Cluffy always say?
You can't manufacture desperation.
Can't. And it's so true. You can pretend. But bottom line is they do. They just want this thing over. They know they're good. They know they've made the right moves, the requisite moves to be great.
Yep, they proved their point.
They've got an opportunity to be a Stanley Cup finalist again, and now let's get to it.
And by the way, for the core members of the Avalanche or the core members of the Nuggets, do you think any one of those guys sits back and says, oh man, we really need home ice if we're going to have a chance to win, or we really need home court if we're going to have a chance to win?
Or, oh man, that game against Minnesota where we didn't have Murray and we didn't play the way we're capable of playing, boy, I'm really, really scared of...
Right.
Yeah, right. They respect them.
Yeah.
But do you think anybody on the Nuggets is saying, man, like, hey, anybody can beat us, but if we play our game, what do you think the Nuggets, if finish the sentence, if you're the Nuggets, if we play our game, we
win the championship.
Amen. And no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah. You can fill in that blank with any number of lines. If we play our game, nobody can beat us.
Right.
If we play our game, nobody can beat us four times. I mean, definitely the situation there. Good stuff. Good stuff on the Ramoslaw.com text line. Keep them coming. Boy, a lot of people just, I don't know how you eat. I don't know why you make the choices you make. Some very poor choices being made out of there. Papa Murphy's, home of Take a Bake Tuesdays and $5 Fridays. Up next, we play a game of what should they do and what will they do? Next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
One of the texts of the day. Mark likes his leftovers like Stidham's play next season. Ice cold.
Maybe Mark likes his leftovers like Stidham's blood. Ice cold.
Ice cold, huh? Coursing through those veins. So, James Marillat. Fever. What's James putting together here? A little game of what should they do and what will they do?
Yeah, you'd just like to know what should the Broncos do with their number 12 pick, and what do you guys think the Broncos will do?
All right. Well, let's give him an audio version.
All right.
Rather than just writing it down. So let's start with what should they do with the 12th pick.
You want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
What should they do? They should look for a trade partner to move back in the draft and accumulate another pick. So move from 12 down to around 20 and pick up another third rounder, second, late second rounder, something of that nature.
So you're counting on the idea that there will be a team desperate to move up to grab, let's say, a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix.
Correct.
And you should take advantage of that team.
Right.
By trading back, gain extra picks.
Correct.
Hmm. That's what you, that's what they should do, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I think what they should do is they should stay put at 12 and take a stud. Take a stud, benefit from the fact that there'll be, again, stupid teams that will be joining that herd mentality that so many teams have done over the last 20-plus years, overdraft a quarterback, let four quarterbacks go in the first four or six picks, and just let stud football players drop into your waiting lap.
Okay. So that's what they should do.
Should do. You say trade back. I say stay put, take a football player.
Okay.
Okay.
What will they do?
What will they do? You go first.
I don't think they'll be able to find a trade partner. I don't think they'll be able to find somebody that's willing to move up to 12. I just don't. So what will they do? I think they will stay put at 12, and they will draft a stud football player.
Oh, okay. So we're kind of on the same page there.
That's what I think
what
they'll do.
What you think they'll do.
Is what you say they should do.
Yeah, I'm putting a lot of faith in Sean. Sean, I'm putting faith in you. I'm putting faith in you, Sean. You're here because you're better at this than other people. You proved it. You're one of the most respected offensive minds in all of football. And you said this at the combine.
Sometimes it's not as difficult as we make it out to be. And then sometimes... Listen, it's very difficult, and so I think we'll be really good at this, and I think to some degree we're glad that a lot of people aren't.
So what will they do? I believe in Sean. They're going to take a stud football player at 12.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to draft a Michael Pratt or Spencer Rattler, and that'll be the quarterback that Sean will try to turn into a star.
So you believe what they should do and what they will do are the two in the same, one in the same?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I like that.
I'll be disappointed if Sean stays put and takes Bo Nix at 12.
But if he takes Bo Nix at 12, you've also said that you believe that that's the right move if that's who he believes in.
I know.
He's not going to take Bo Nix if he doesn't believe in Bo Nix.
You just did it again. A, you got a little bit of a drawl in there.
Bo Nix.
B, you said his whole name again. You know what?
Well, Bo Nix. Think about Bo Nix. Bo Nix.
Now, what they should do, actually, let me amend that. They should draft Bo Nix just so I can hear you talk about Bo Nix for the next several years.
Bo Nix has to talk about himself in the third person. Let me tell you what Bo Nix saw. Bo Nix just dropped back there.
He doesn't talk like that.
Five-step drop, and Bo Nix saw.
Do you have the guy that actually talks like that? Do we have that audio?
He saw the curl flag combination.
You got to leave that on my iPad. I need to have that guy handy at all times. Yeah, no.
The curl flat defender went wide out with the back, so I threw that curl.
If he takes a quarterback at 12.
Uh-huh.
Boy, I'm going to be fighting some real base instincts on this one. But no, ultimately, I trust Sean. I know for a lot of you out there, you can't stand Sean. You blame Sean for everything. You think he's an egomaniac. He's arrogant. He's mean, all that stuff. I trust him. What can I say? I trust Sean Payton.
All right, so let me extend this a little bit.
So if he takes a quarterback... I'm going to be like,
well, okay, we both don't think he's taking a quarterback.
I don't think he is.
No, I don't either.
Not at 12.
So.
And the only time I think he either takes a quarterback is if he gives up the next couple of drafts to move up to get one, or he picks one in the middle rounds.
What player do you think they take? You think they take an edge, an OT, a tight end, or a corner?
Ooh, good question. Good question. Good question. He's a Parcells guy. He's a Parcells disciple. Parcells has always been on record. You build teams inside out. So strong offensive lines, strong defensive lines. I would laugh if he took a tackle. God, I would laugh. People would be so pissed. God, they'd be so upset if he took a tackle. I'd love it. I'd love it. They need good football players.
Right.
Folks, you know, we go around all this thing about the about what they need to do and everything like that. They need football players. They need an infusion of just really good football players. And there is not a position that they couldn't use a really good football player.
Correct.
And as much as I'd love to see Sean fall in love with a quarterback, do I want to send that quarterback out there to get his lunch handed to him? Hey, I'll say something else that people aren't going to like. If they draft a quarterback, I want that quarterback to sit. I want that quarterback to take a redshirt year. And I know how that's going to be received. You know, the whole, you draft a guy, you got to play him. No, look around. Show me, if you can, come up with an example of a quarterback who was forced to sit. I'm not talking about just some guy who came in as a backup. I'm talking about a guy who was, you know, drafted with the idea he was, and that sat and didn't benefit from it.
Right. The two most recent examples of that are Mahomes and then Jordan Love.
Right. And before that, Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, if you want to go, now it wasn't part of the plan, but it worked out. Tom Brady didn't play his first year. A lot of people don't know that. Tom Brady did not play his rookie year
right
in the NFL.
Really?
You know what I'd love to see?
Really?
I would love to see them take a corner because I think people would go,
oh my God,
ballistic.
Yeah, you're right. Of all the positions they could take non-quarterback, if they took a corner, oh my God, it would be epic. I mean, you want proof that Sean don't give any you know whats?
Yeah.
If he took a corner,
zero bleeps.
If he took a corner, it'd be a good move. They need more. They need more corners. Yeah. Yeah, anybody remember Fabian Moreau getting toasted by Aiden O'Connell in the final game of the season against the Raiders? They need more corners.
People would go crazy. They
go crazy.
Crazy.
Man, I'd be grabbing my popcorn for that one. That would be fun to watch. So, there you go. What should they do? We'll play the game with you. We gave our audio answers for James to use, so we'll throw that same question out to you. What should they do? What do you think they'll do? That's next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Thank you to the texter who said pointed out Ben Roethlisberger did not start as a rookie.
Former Denver Bronco Tommy Maddox started that season.
That's right.
Until I think he got hurt at some point, then Roethlisberger came in.
And then went like 13-0.
Mm-hmm.
So asking the question that James Merrill had at Denver Sports.com asking, what should the Broncos do at 12? What will they do? Here we go. Some reaction on the RamosLaw.com text line. They should trade up, get their guy, and be done with the quarterback nightmare.
Yeah, like the Jets, or like Cleveland, or like Arizona, or like who else? Trade it up to go get somebody. Buffalo's the only one that you can say they ended their quarterback nightmare, but everybody else is still in quarterback purgatory.
They should trade up, get their guy, and be done with the QB nightmare. They will trade down, gather picks, and build the roster. Both are good, but
I don't know that there's anybody behind them, Mike. The Raiders are behind them, but that really need a QB.
Yeah, but if you're one of these, but here's what gives me some hope if you do all want right to trade back. Because follow my line of thinking here. If you've got these teams hyperventilating at the top of the draft and drafting quarterbacks, that means really good football players are going to drop, right?
Correct.
So now all of a sudden, if you're a team sitting at 18 like Cincinnati or 19 like the Rams, teams that feel like they are playoff teams, they all of a sudden will see an opportunity. Wow, this guy that we have graded as like the fifth best prospect in the draft is dropping.
I'll give you a
because
team.
Of all the quarterbacks. Let's move up to Denver. They're shopping, and let's move up and grab this guy.
I'll give you a team that we did a draft day trade with years ago that probably didn't work out for either team the way they thought it would work out, but the Steelers went from about 20 to wherever the Broncos were at the time. And remember, they traded and Broncos dropped down to like 20 and got Noah Fant, and they got up and got that linebacker from Michigan. What was that kid's name?
Devin Bush, right?
Yeah, Devin Bush, yeah. Who ended up tearing his ACL. But there's a team that the Steelers are sitting at 20. Yep. Let's say the Steelers see the top two tackles go and they want number three. They want the best tackle, and he'll be available at 12. What if they move up with the Broncos?
Yeah, I don't think
that happening.
Yeah, I don't think you have to look at it as solely what teams are looking for a quarterback and would want to move up and trade with the Broncos. I think there are plenty of teams below the Broncos that would be looking up to grab a player that they feel is a top five prospect that they can get at 12.
I'll give you another one. The Buffalo Bills lost their corner, right? Tre'Davious White signed a one-year deal, had some injuries, but he's an outstanding corner. He was their lockdown guy. Terrion Arnold is a guy that plays a lot of lockdown in Alabama under Nick Saban's kind of system. What if you say at 28, hey, we want to move up to 12?
Boy, that's a long way to move.
It's a huge move. But if you've got capital, say, hey, man, we'll give you, you know, we'll swap first rounders. We'll give you a second rounder and a third rounder.
Some more on the RamosLaw.com text line. Bo, he's just calling him Bo. You'll never call him just Bo.
Bo Nix.
Bo Nix has one of the highest completion percentages over the last 2 years.
Yeah, okay.
He had patience. Let me read it, please, because I love the eye roll that already has accompanied this. He had patience in the pocket and is smart. He reads the field. He could start year one. The good old completion percentage.
The good old college football completion percentage, where we throw 9 bubble screens a game and the defenses just sit back in zone and hope you throw an incompletion. So everything underneath is open. Has college football not taught you anything? If the 2018 draft didn't teach you anything, the worst completion percentage guy in that draft was who? Josh Allen.
That's correct.
From Wyoming. He was the only guy who played in somewhat of a pro-style system. And by the way, if you play in Wyoming, you ain't getting any receiver in the country that's worth his salt that wants to go there. Place is a wind tunnel. It's awful. No offense to Laramie. Sorry, Laramie. But it's a wind tunnel.
Oh, no. Don't admit that.
Right. Baker Mayfield had the highest completion percentage in the history of college football at the time. How many teams does he play for now?
Four.
Oh, wow. Sam Darnold was a can't-miss proposition.
No.
Josh Rosen was the best quarterback ever to come out.
You're leaving out Exhibit A as to why you can never, ever, ever, ever make your case for a quarterback based on completion percentage in college. Tim Tebow's final year in college completed 68% of his passes. Think about that, folks.
Wow.
You watched Tim Tebow in the NFL. You watched him try to throw a football. 68%. He was actually a career 4 years at Florida, 66% completion guy.
How?
Do not put any stock, because he threw a bunch of screens and dump passes and slants to Percy Harvin, who took it 80 yards. I mean, it was do not Whatever argument you want to make for any of these quarterbacks, please, you're welcome to make it. Just do not lead with completion percentage. Please.
Out of college football.
Out of college football.
Paxton threw for 67 at Memphis. Paxton Lynch.
67% in college.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. This one. Bowers is the closest thing to Kelsey as we've seen. Take him.
I like Bowers.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
I wouldn't have any problem with Bowers. I don't know that it would be there. I could see the Jets at, what, 10 take him? I see a couple teams taking
him. Oilfield Kevin, I believe they should get a stud football player at 12 or drop back a couple spots to get an extra second or third rounder and get Spencer Rattler. Spencer, a couple years ago, was projected to be a top pick in the draft. You aren't wrong.
I like Spencer at South Carolina. I like some of the stuff they did pre-snap. He seemed, they used multiple formations. They used a lot of kind of pro-style things at South Carolina. So I actually liked the film I watched of Spencer Rattler. I thought he played pretty well in that Senior Bowl, too. From what the stuff I watched early while he was playing, I thought he had command of the huddle. I thought he played pretty well. But he probably didn't run a 4.5 40, so he hasn't elevated himself, you know, up into the first round. If only he had a better 40 time. Because the one thing I love to watch is quarterbacks, you know, run 40s. Because that proves that they can throw it. A dick.
That's going to be my new sarcasm thing.
Like when I'm really laying it on thick.
Yeah.
I used to do this all the time. Yeah. You'd say your just really syrupy, sarcastic comment, and then you just look at the guy and go, a dick.
A what?
A dick.
What are you saying? Slow it down for me.
Just a dick.
That's it?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Does it mean anything?
No.
Is it a word? No.
We just used to say all the time when I was in college, Uddick, after you said something that was really syrupy.
Ah, okay.
Sarcastic.
Boy, you kids in Idaho, man, you're next level.
What did you guys do?
I don't know. We didn't say anything like that. We didn't come up with some make-believe word that we all thought was funny, and we all started saying it together. I mean, how did that start? Who said it the first time?
I don't know who said it the first time.
How did it catch on?
Because it's funny.
Arik?
No, more like a dick. A dick.
Ah!
But you just slur it all together.
Well, now I can get behind that.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Okay.
Right? You're just being a Richard Nine.
Right, okay. There you go.
Yeah, like, hey, Russ is really good in the pocket. He really commands the pocket, and his scrambling ability is awesome. A dick.
Coming up, are the Nuggets getting a reminder, a glimpse into their future? That's next.